Egypt has elected a new president this week, a 92% victory for Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, former military chief with virtually no opposition in a nation where the Arab Spring suddenly seems like a distant memory. The lack of opposition suggests that the political openness of 2010 has gone away, either because of a new military crackdown or because of a deep civic weariness with instability, the vanished tourism dollars, the struggling economy, and a government unable to govern. One sign of a return to the days of Hosni Mubarak and the military rule in Egypt is the trial of three journalists accused of aiding a terrorist organization when they claimed they were simply trying to get the Muslim Brotherhood's perspective on the Egyptian situation. The Brotherhood is now banned, but a year ago was one of the elected majority parties in Egypt. The trial of the Al Jazeera journalists is coming down to a verdict, possibly next week. Al Jazeera English senior correspondent Sue Turton is actually one of the accused in this case, but was out of the country when charges were filed against her and has watched her own trial, her powerless colleagues and fellow defendants in Cairo from afar.
It's incredibly frustrating, as you can appreciate. The fact that I've been accused of aiding and abetting terrorism has had an impact on me. I can't really do my job at the moment because there are many countries that very much sympathize and are backing Egypt in its current form. But it's nothing compared to what my three colleagues are going through. They've been incarcerated now for over 150 days for basically just doing their job. And one of them has serious medical problems. Mohamed Fahmy, who's half Egyptian, half Canadian, he has a broken shoulder that's sort of set in the wrong position. He had to sleep on a stone floor for the first 2 months with no mattress and no bedding. And it's really, you know, it's taken its toll on his health. The other two guys, they now get an hour out of the prison cell that they all share each day. They just run as much as they can just to try and get those endorphins going. But you can appreciate every time we have another court session, morale just really drops because they think this could be it when the judge recognizes these charges are just politically driven and that it should be thrown out of court.
With the election of General al-Sisi as leader of Egypt, does this become a show trial or is it something that he perhaps wishes would just go away?
I think it's always been a show trial. I think one of the reasons that it happened in the first place is because all of the domestic media in Egypt sort of toes the government line. It's always been very backing of the government. It knows it has to be, otherwise it will be shut down. And because Al Jazeera is still shown in Egypt, they had to shut us up. But apart from just that, I think the knock-on effects of that has been many other news channels from around the world that have covered Egypt are almost self-censoring or muting their kind of coverage of Egypt. And that's really, I think, half the reason that this trial is going on, because Egypt just wants to really shut any reporting of the sort of human rights abuses that are going on, the amount of people that are being thrown into prison that don't agree with the government, and the fact there isn't really a judicial process for them.
Do you think the fact that the U.S. has come out in very vocal support of you actually might hurt your case politically inside of Egypt?
I don't think so. I know that Egypt has been quite strong in its reaction when the military aid was cut by some level last October. I was actually in the country in Cairo covering that story. But in the end of the day, I think the relationship between Egypt and the US has been held for decades. And even though Egypt might not say this publicly, I really think that the Egyptians value the fact that there's been this partnership with the US for so long. You can see that they really want to keep those ties and the sort of the dialogue open. And I think one of the main reasons for that is finance. I think really that they want to draw more American finance back into the country. The country's economy is on its knees. They want to get Americans to go back to visit to the pyramids, to Sharm el-Sheikh, because tourism has dropped dramatically. And they're really, the whole of the country's feeling that. But what I'm really hoping, what we're really hoping, is the fact the American government has said you have to demonstrate you are on the right road to democracy, this roadmap to democracy that they've talked about. You have to demonstrate that by two things, by releasing those that are in prison just because of their political views, by allowing political assembly and freedom of expression, and you also have to stop locking up journalists who are just doing their job.
Here's a possibly more sensitive question. I'm wondering if the involvement of the Emir of Qatar in regional politics is also a complication for you folks working for Al Jazeera, that perhaps you've been singled out because of the Egyptians' particular views of the involvement of Qatar in everything that's gone on in the Arab Spring.
I think that actually must have fed into it. And I don't think any of us have shied away from that point, because Qatar as a government was very much backing the Muslim Brotherhood in many ways, not just politically, but financially as well. There was a definite shift when the coup happened against Qatar in Egypt. And, you know, people have said that is the whole reason for what's happened. But as I said earlier, I think there are many reasons. And I think trying to shut up any derision against the government is possibly one of the biggest ones. But also the fact that Al Jazeera English was the only staff in country at the time, I think is one of the reasons that we were arrested. The only way that they could have an impact on Al Jazeera, and as you say, possibly also on Qatar, is by picking up the three guys that I worked with all last year, at least two of them, and Peter Grester. And Peter Grester had been in country for 2 weeks when they picked him up. He had done magnificent work across in the east of Africa for Al Jazeera for many years. He's an award-winning journalist. But he was covering our holiday cover for Christmas. When he was picked up, how unlucky can you be with your timing? Well, we stand by our journalism. We say we were as fair and independent and transparent as in our reporting that, you know, we could possibly be. But in the end of the day, it just really does feel like all these things have come together in, I suppose, a kind of perfect storm. The fact that Qatar has upset the Egyptians, the fact that Al Jazeera doesn't toe the party line.
Finally, you know, the possibilities here on the verdict range everything from time served to the death penalty. Any speculation here?
We've been told that the kind of verdicts could be very different from the Egyptians and from the foreigners, if you like. But the speculation I've heard mostly from legal sources is a kind of 15 years. I mean, obviously, if the verdict is a guilty one, we will go straight into an appeal. And who knows? I mean, maybe one of the first things that the new president will do is pardon. Who knows? Who knows whether he thinks that is a good way to demonstrate that he is going to bring in these democratic principles that the rest of the Western world, at least, is really pushing Egypt to go down. If there is a guilty verdict, that's really what we're hoping for.
Sue Turton is a senior correspondent for Al Jazeera English, one of the accused journalists in this case. We spoke with her from Greece. Thank you, Sue.
You're welcome.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.